glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, November 9th, 2023. I'm your host, Donna Leland. Russ Pierce joins us today. Russ leads an apologetic ministry. It's called Reasons for Belief. Welcome, Russ.
Hi, Donna. Thank you very much for having me.
So first off, we always have to go over, what is apologetics? We're not apologizing, are we, for anything?
No, not at all. And you know, it's funny you should ask, because the first thing people say when you mention apologetics is, what are you apologizing for? No, apologetics actually, it comes from the Greek word apologia. If you look in 1 Peter 3:15, it says to always be prepared to make a defense. Well, that make a defense in the Greek is apologia. And so apologetics is the religious discipline of defending religious doctrines. So basically what apologetics is defending our faith. Some of the famous apologists you might be aware of, C.S. Lewis, Josh McDowell, they were some famous apologists.
So let's jump in with the basics. You know, using our eyes, we can look around us and we say, you know, things really do look designed. Walk us through some of that reasoning behind that we would say God created our world.
You're absolutely right. The more sophisticated science gets, then the more advanced that science gets, the more that we see God's hand, the design that is truly in place. And it really is, Donna, it's phenomenal. And it really does strongly support the Christian faith. That's what our ministry is all about, getting this information out that strongly supports the Christian faith. But from a design standpoint, as you probably remember, and many of us learned in school, we were taught that the creation, life began through evolution.
Yeah.
Darwin's theory. Science has advanced to the point now where Darwin's theory no longer is agreed upon, or even scientists, they don't support it at all. There's a couple points why Darwinism, evolution, doesn't work anymore. It's not scientifically sound. One of the points in Darwin's theory of evolution is that all life began from nothing, basically, on Earth. Some of the basic simple elements on Earth that were present. And what Darwin explains in the theory of evolution is that life all began from what they called a primordial soup. And basically what the primordial soup was just some of the compounds that were required to form the basic components of life. Primordial soup is one of the key factors in Darwin's evolutionary tree, because you have to have that primordial soup to be able to start, begin life. You have to have those basic components. Well, early on, you know, with Darwin's time, they did not have the science. They were not able to look into the cell and all the components of the cell. And we can do that now. And some of that evidence you were talking about, Donna, scientists have found through modern science that we know now that the building block of life, one of the elements that would have to be in this primordial soup for life to begin, are proteins. Proteins are the building blocks of life. We know that. Scientists study that. And they also know that proteins are made up of amino acids. There are hundreds or even thousands of amino acids that make up proteins. So if you think about it, the primordial soup needs to be the building block of life. Well, to be the building block, now science knows it has to be able to have protein material, which is amino acids. And amino acids are made up of nitrogen. So for this primordial soup to be able to honestly and realistically be able to create life, it would have to be nitrogen rich. And as you know, science evolves in all the different sciences, and geology is one of them. And they're able to look at, scientists now can dig down and look at sedimentary deposits from thousands of years ago. And when they do that, they do not find a nitrogen-rich layer or concentrations of nitrogens down deep in the sedimentary deposits. What that means, Donna, is that the fundamental building block you'd have to have in that primordial soup for life to actually begin would have to be nitrogen, and that is not found. So that's just one of many, many scientific facts that show that life beginning per evolution is not possible.
Let's see if I got the recipe right, okay? So this is the recipe for life. according to Darwin, is you need this combination of different molecules, basically, in order for us to exist. There has to be proteins. Those have to be created with all the soup, and then nitrogen has to be present. And from what we can see, that's not a possibility. My question also is, who made the soup?
Yes, there you go. That's a very good point. Yes, the building blocks, they all had to be there. Yep, good point. Not only that, some scientists have set out to try to prove that you can get life from some of the basic elements. The Miller-Urey experiment was one of the famous experiments that supposedly supported the creation of life randomly by chance, just through the elements that were present in the atmosphere, and that was proven to be false as well. So one of the major components needed for evolution to actually work is the components have to be there. And scientists know now, because science has advanced and they can look at it like never before, that those basic components were not present. And then another good point that really shows how evolution is just not true is, again, farther down in Darwin's evolutionary tree are the creation of animals from complex organisms. He shows how you go from the primordial soup to the single cell to the simple organisms to the complex organisms and to animals. And what Darwin showed in his tree of life is that all species of animals come from a common ancestor. If you remember being taught in school years ago, they taught that everything had a common ancestor. We know now with modern science that's not possible. But even then, there's a fact that is so easy to follow that I wanted to share with you. For all the animal species to have come from a common ancestor, like from rabbits to squirrels to dogs and cats and elephants and all the different species of animals, for all of them to come from a common ancestor, Donna, we would have to have transitional fossils. Now, if you remember, we all know what a fossil is. We've all been to the fossil museums. You have fossils of all the different living organisms that have been on the earth. When they die, they leave behind fossils. And this fossil record is very complex, and the fossil record has become very thorough over the years. We have museums that just have millions of fossils of all the different life that existed on this planet. Well, you would expect, if all the species of animals came from a common ancestor, you would have transitional fossils, right?
Yeah.
If something went from a rabbit to a squirrel or a dog to a cat, you would have to have fossils that show that transition from one species to another. What we find in the fossil records, if you look at all, especially the museums that have a huge volume of fossils, you see all the different species of animals, but you don't find any transitional fossils. I'll give you an example. Dr. David Raup was the curator at the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago. Donnie, you've probably been there. I know. The Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago is one of the larger museums in the country. It has hundreds of thousands of fossils that they have there at the museum. Over 250,000 species of plants and animals. And the curator was actually asked by one of the scientific researchers, they asked Mr. Raup, the curator, of all the hundreds of thousands of fossils at the Museum of Science and Industry, how many transitional fossils, which is, fossils that represent a transition from one species to another, did he have in his museum? And Donna, the answer was not one. So, I mean that's just irrefutable proof. There's no way that all the species could have come from a common ancestor.
So all those pictures that we were given in school, those were just rendered drawings of someone's imagination.
Yes. And at the time, 150, 200 years ago, the science was not evolved. I mean, they honestly, at that time, because science was so primitive, they thought a single cell was just a blob of protoplasm. I mean, now we know the single cell is amazingly complex. And they didn't have the ability, archaeology, geology, those sciences weren't as sophisticated as they are now. But as science advances, it gets more and more complicated. It shows us more and more deeper into the organisms and the life. And the deeper we go, Donna, the more it points to God. The more irrefutable The more irreducibly complex life is, and which is not possible to be formed randomly by chance, as Darwin says in his theory of evolution. The theory of evolution is not true. It's not possible. It does not. It is not a viable hypothesis or method for life to be created here on Earth.
So let's review, because that's how I learn. So we learned about our soup that they said we came out of. And basically, another word for it is just sludge. So you've got that soup they say we came out of, and they say that soup produced proteins, which are very fragile, from my understanding. The possibility that proteins were created in sludge, not much. And then the nitrogen is just not there in the record. That's a great argument. And then the second argument that you posed, Russ, was the fact there are not transitional fossils. We don't see dog cats. We don't see rabbit squirrels. There is no fossil record.
And you're absolutely right, Donna. And you know what's really neat is the record, the fossil records, 100% supports what it says in the Bible, that God created all the animals by their kind. And then that's exactly what we see. We see rabbits, squirrels, turtles, dogs. We see fossils of each one. And we see where there is natural selection. There is some variation that takes place, but not a change from one species to another. And that is directly what the Bible tells us.
What we really see is the Cambrian explosion. And that's a fossil record that just, they all appear suddenly.
Yes, and that is another amazing factor that has been just fairly recently explored, and you're right. The Cambrian's explosion, from what scientists say, is where God created all the different kinds of animals. It's shown in the fossil records.
So that's something we can see. I thought science was about what we could see.
Absolutely. And what, you know, the scientists even say, Donna, that the more sophisticated we get, the more technologically advanced we get, the more we can see how complex life really is. And the scientists really feel that it's purposely made that way, where it just points to God. And the more we dig, the more we see God all around us. That's the other point I'd like to make. I shared with you a couple truths that show that evolution is not possible. I'd like to also share a couple truths that show that proof of creation by God, if that would be okay with you.
That's okay with us, for sure.
Two of the things, and I could go on for hours, but two of the things that I feel scientists feel that are very strong proofs of creation by God. One of the premises for the theory of evolution is that the universe has been around forever. You know, when you have a universe that's been around forever, you're just bound to have things happen randomly by chance. Scientists have found that the universe actually has a beginning, and they've actually found data that proves that. You know, with the development of the Hubble Space Telescope and other amazing advances in science, where they can look out in the space deeper and farther than ever before, they're able to discover things that we didn't know. And one of those advancements, Dr. William Craig shares with us, the light coming from distant galaxies. You know, through the Hubble Space Tunnel, they look at galaxies, you know, light years away. And when they look at that, the light coming back from distant galaxies was found to be redder than expected. And without going into a whole big talk on the different shades of color, to explain to you that this red that they see, this red shift, is because the galaxies are moving away. So what they see when they look at these distant galaxies by this redder color that they're seeing is that the galaxies are moving away. Well, think about that, Donna. If the galaxies are moving away, that means what? They had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You have to have a start for it to be moving away. Well, that is one of the facts that show that the universe had a start, because all these galaxies are moving away, which means they had to have a starting point. Another example of how science is finding that the proof of creation by God is how irreducibly complex life is. You know, in the theory of evolution, Darwin, the premise for his theory is that life was basically easy to form. Some of the scientists say you basically just add water and
yeah,
you got life. Well, what scientists have found, and even more recently, it's been even more complex, that even the single cell, the basic component of life, Donna, is so complex that it's not possible for it to form randomly by chance. Scientists have found that a single cell is made up of approximately 300 to 500 protein molecules. Remember, we talked about how protein is one of the building blocks. And each one of these proteins is made up of between 1,200 and 2,000 amino acids. Now, this is a single cell. This is the we have, you know, trillions of cells that make up our body. One single cell is made up of 300 to 500 proteins, which each protein is between 1,200 and 2,000 amino acids. And these 1,200 to 2,000 amino acids, Donna, scientists are finding, are the proteins are built in a 3D structure, and their structure is so complex that it's beyond what we ever comprehended. You know, when you look at the proteins in their 3D structure, I mean, imagine you've got 1,200 to 2,000 amino acids that you have put together in a 3D structure that if it's not perfectly accurate, it will not be able to do the function that it's supposed to do. And what scientists have found is not only is this structure very specific, it's sequenced in a specific sequence, but now they're finding, Donna, that there's left-hand and right-hand versions of these proteins. There's different bonding that goes on in the different proteins, that it has to have a specific shape, otherwise it does not function. It's kind of like a complex puzzle piece.
Yeah.
Each puzzle piece has to be so unique or it won't fit into the other puzzle piece. And they're finding that this complexity is beyond what we ever imagined before. Mathematically, Donna, statistically, it's just not possible to happen randomly by chance. So what that points to is a creator, and it points to creation by God. It has to be a divine creator. It does not happen randomly by chance. So the couple examples of how, because of advances in science, we see that life on Earth is only possible by creation by God, and that evolution, the theory that I grew up on, is just scientifically does not work anymore. It's been proved wrong.
I love that. You know, another thing is the irreducible complexity. It would mean like all the component parts of a watch needed to be in place immediately in order to make it work.
Exactly.
Every little piece has to be in place. You cannot add a mitochondria with the endo something reticulum and, you know, anything, all these little pieces and parts. They had to be there, boom, the moment it was started.
Not only did they have to be there at the beginning, but they had to be functional, and they are so complex themselves that scientists are finding that even the basic components inside the cell are so complex that they're beyond what we ever thought was possible. And so that definitely points to a divine creator. It's the example they use, Donna, is a mousetrap. You know, a basic mousetrap, which is very, very simple, but if you take any of the components away from a mousetrap, the spring, the wire, the base, the trap part, if you take any component, it will not trap mice. Just and the single cell is, you know, so much more complex than a mousetrap, but that's the concept. Take away any single component of the many, many components of a cell, and a cell doesn't work. So as you said, they all had to be there from the very beginning, and the way they got there from the very beginning is because God created it.
Russ, our time has come to an end, but we so appreciate you spending time with us. Now, if someone wanted to dig a little deeper, get some resources through your ministry, what's the best way they can contact you?
Oh, thank you, Donna. And it's been a real pleasure to be here, and I really appreciate your opportunity and very much look forward to continuing these conversations with Reasons for Belief. And to reach Reasons for Belief, our website is myreasonsforbelief.org. Please feel free to visit us. Every day we're making improvements to the website, and we'd love for you to check out our website and use it as a resource to help you recall and go back and help grow your faith by understanding the science that supports God in the Bible.
Thanks so much for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. Have a great day.
Creation sings the Father's song. He calls the sun to wake the dawn and run the course of day till evening falls in crimson rays. And flakes of snow, his breath upon the spinning globe,
eagles fly, commands the newborn baby's cry. Blameless life would bring.